Listen to this Ross report for all the updates on the Patriots' latest transactions. Welcome back to another Patriots Ross Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Bransky, and it's Friday, December 15th, just before Hanukkah, right here at Gillette Stadium. We have Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Brian Lowe breaking down the roster for you, giving you all the additions and subtractions.
Thanks, Laurie. An absolute whirlwind of activity in terms of Patriots transactions since the last time we came to you on the Patriots roster report since last Saturday. 12 transactions involving 11 players. No surprise that Gene Merchkowski was involved twice. But just to go over a few of the key ones that we'll get into here, the Patriots released wide receiver Doug Gabriel, somewhat of a surprise, and we'll get to that in a moment. They've signed O.J. Santiago, tight end who hasn't played in a game in 3 years, and two players going on injured reserve, linebacker Don Davis and running back Patrick Pass. I guess we'll start at the wide receiver position. Doug Gabriel, the Patriots traded a fifth-round pick for him just before the season began. What went wrong with Doug Gabriel?
I guess he just didn't fit in here. I mean, they need receivers. They only have four on the roster. Something happened.
Five now. Kelvin
yeah,
Kite.
Five. Something happened in that Jets game.
Right.
We don't know what. We don't know what transpired, but he was playing. He was making a contribution. He fumbles against the Jets, and, you know, he turns into Jimmy Hoffa. No one knows where he is.
And there has to be something more to it, because if it was simply a fumble, then Corey Dillon wouldn't be on this team. Ben Watson wouldn't be on this team. Daniel Graham wouldn't be on this
Tom
team.
Tom Brady wouldn't play quarterback.
Kevin Falk would have been gone a long time
there
ago.
There has to be something more to it, but since he fumbled a month ago, he's barely played and he's had one catch. So that clearly was a turning point. There's no way about no two ways about it.
And in his limited opportunities since then, he hasn't really appeared to be, with the program. I mean, I thought there was one play that we talked about on PFW in Progress, quick comeback route on the sideline against Miami. He turns around and the ball's in the air, and he just looked like he was totally surprised by it. Brady appeared to kind of be, annoyed that Gabriel wasn't where he was supposed to be. So I'm wondering if a combination of all of these things have just kind of built up to the point where, the Patriots just decided to say, let's cut him loose.
And we're at a point now where we just mentioned there's five wide receivers on the roster, but one of them is Kelvin Kite.
One of them is Chad Jackson.
Four of them are from Florida. So, yeah, among the wide receivers, Jabbar Gaffney, Chad Jackson, and Kelvin Kite have combined for, 15 catches as members of the Patriots, maybe, if that?
A little higher than that, I think.
How many does Gaffney have?
Gaffney
six
is,
or seven.
And okay. 17
10 for, then.
So,
yeah.
So around 20, okay. And then you got Troy Brown and Rishay Caldwell. It's been a long-running situation, the wide receiver situation throughout the season. It looked like for a little while in the middle of the season, some progress had been made. Have they regressed now as a group?
Well, I think they regressed because of the Gabriel situation. That was the progress. It was Caldwell starting to build. Gabriel seemed like he was 3, 4, 5 catches a game, a few touchdowns. I mean, it had reached the point, was it Minnesota, when Brady said he wished he had gotten Gabriel a touchdown?
Gabriel
that
had
was
a big
one
game,
he
but
wished
no touchdown.
And, right.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, he fumbles, boom, he's gone. Caldwell, we know, is not a true number one in the sense that he's capable of getting open against anybody in any coverage. We've seen him sort of come back to reality. And now you have Benjamin Watson banged up, potentially going to miss the game with the left knee injury. So, yeah, there's not a lot to turn to. When you're Tom Brady and you drop back, there's not a lot to look for. And maybe that's why we see him shuffling to the left and then getting strip sacked.
And I certainly felt, certainly early on with the wide receiver, with having inexperience at the wide receiver position, well, maybe there's a little bit of depth at tight end with Watson, Graham, maybe David Thomas can emerge. Well, all of a sudden now at tight end, Benjamin Watson is questionable with a knee injury and doesn't seem likely that he's going to play this week. We'll see if that's long term. Daniel Graham missed 4 games earlier in the year, and he's been, on and off productive in the receiving game. David Thomas has not yet shown that he's able to be a regular player. And now O.J. Santiago, who hasn't had a big year in a while, hasn't played in 3 years, and on his first day, he's questionable on the injury report.
Has he ever had a big year?
Well, his biggest
the year
was,
he did the Dirty Bird here
his,
in
right,
Foxborough.
His biggest year and one of his biggest games was here in 1998 against the Patriots, but all of a sudden, and then you add in Patrick Pass.
I remember that.
All of a sudden, you add in Patrick Pass not there. That combination of offensive skill positions, is the depth there overall is really low at this point.
It's alarming. They don't have, if they're not running the football well, and I mean like Cincinnati, Buffalo well, mm-hmm. they're in trouble. Because if you take, we all wondered what would happen if they take Rishay Caldwell out of the game. We saw it last week where Caldwell only had one reception.
Yep.
Brady had nowhere else to throw the football. Now if, like Andy said, if Watson's out, That's tough.
And you mentioned the running game. Oh, by the way, Lawrence Maroney is still questionable. And while he said for the second straight week that, quote, I'm straight, that didn't work last week and you didn't get on the field. So if you're looking for a running game to carry you and you're limited to just Corey Dillon, oh, by the way, the offensive line is coming off its worst game so bad that they had to shave all their beards off.
Right.
Things on offense not exactly coming together in December.
Yeah, no, they need Maroney's explosiveness back there, so at least you have the threat of a big play in the running game, and that maybe will open up some other avenues in the passing game.
And in the kicking game, too. You know, Kevin Faulk isn't a disaster back there, but Lawrence Maroney had been the leader.
A backhanded compliment that is.
No, he's been around.
No, but that was
Maroney,
a weapon. That was a
Lawrence
weapon
Maroney
that they had.
He's
second in the league.
And especially in Miami, where field position was one of the biggest differences in the game. Now, granted, a lot of that has to do with the Miami punter and the way the ball bounced. And the New England punter, no question about it. But, you know, the versatility that Maroney has brought in certain games has certainly been important. And Corey Dillon had a solid game, I guess you could say, against Miami. He, you know, maybe was the only bright spot of the entire offense, 4.9 yards per carry. But could he do that for a second week in a row? That's a big question. Other areas of concern, where do you think they are?
Well,
I mean,
you talked
about the offense.
You mentioned, I want to get to the question that I think everyone wants to know. You mentioned something Kowski's back.
Yes.
Now, they have a secret
no,
Santa.
No, he's now, wait, let me just get back to all my...
No, he's,
yes,
he's
he
back.
Back.
Yes,
okay.
They have a secret Santa here in the locker room.
Yeah.
Now, is he part of that or not?
Well,
because you don't know if he's going to be there when it's time to give the gift.
Well, hopefully,
you know?
He and Antoine Spann have each other.
Right.
So that way,
good.
You know, one of that, you know, at all times, one is, I can't even keep track. Antoine Spann is currently on the roster.
I never know if those two guys are here or not unless I see them.
No, and I guess maybe we can add Kelvin Kite to the list. You know, we'll see if he's bouncing back and forth. Just to bring everyone up to speed on the practice squad situation, they have signed Justin Finnessy and Gus Scott, the old friend from the 2004 draft. They are on the practice squad.
Former
Texan. Former Texan as well, so he'll probably be gone by Monday. Is that safe to say?
Could be. Maybe
and,
by Sunday.
And James Patrick was released from the practice squad. You can raise your hand out there if you knew that James Patrick was on the practice squad. Rod Trafford, another former Patriot, is on the practice squad, a tight end, and hey, you never know. If O.J. Santiago, let's say, has to go on IR with his foot injury, maybe Rod Trafford's on the active roster this week. Any thoughts on any of these other moves? And Don Davis, I mentioned earlier, but that's another hit to the special teams that had already three or four guys from the beginning of training camp who were looked at as special teams regulars going on injured reserve. Is there a concern there in terms of special teams coverage?
Well, I don't think they've been great all year, so I don't have a huge concern. My biggest concern, I would say, is nose tackle, where Vince Wilfork, if he can't play,
we haven't even gotten to that yet.
If he can't play, you don't have a true backup. You have Mike Wright maybe going to fill in. Maybe you go 4-3 and bump Warren and Seymour in, Wright and Green on the ends. But we've talked about all these question marks on this team and all the different things on offense. Stopping the run on defense has been pretty consistent all year. They've played pretty well. I think that's helped keep them in a lot of football games. If this team suddenly can't stop the run, open the floodgates because they got more problems than they can handle.
And Wolfork was obviously
and he's huge,
part
right,
of that.
Right at the center of that.
Right, yeah. And he's been a rock in there since 2004 when he and Keith Traylor sort of split time, but it became pretty clear that Wolfork was the guy there, and that defensive line has certainly been a strength. So as we approach this game against the Texans, the Patriots certainly have, as every week, some significant injury concerns. We'll see who does play, who doesn't. Seems like Wilfork and Watson, good chance they don't. Maybe Maroney comes back. We shall see. And we'll see if O.J. Santiago, that to me is really the biggest concern.
Really
is,
like
does
that
O.J.
guy,
Santiago?
I think you just like saying O.J. Santiago.
O.J. Santiago. So it all comes down to Sunday at 1. The Patriots kick off a string of three straight games against the AFC South to kick off to close the season. The Texans coming in on Sunday. That is going to do it for this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's go back to Lawrence.
Thanks, guys. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Have a happy Hanukkah. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.